the buzzer been poured on its way.
Oh my goodness!
They have to get it. No timeouts. They do.
Florida lead. Villanova.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Welcome to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. We are going to solve all the world's problems and talk a little ball and kind of see what's going on in the world of hoops. I mean, D squared. I got a question for you. I'm going to open this thing up. We got Brad Brownell coming on later, but I'm going to open up with a question. Is there really any upsets in college basketball, or like the deal is on any given night? I mean, like, legitimately, you get into league play. Is there any such thing as an upset? I mean, Texas Tech, I don't care. SMU, Stanford, I don't care who. Is there really such thing as an upset?
According to Vegas, yes. According to guys that have been in league play, no. No, the one thing I'll give SMU is, and you go on the road and you get a win like that. Damn, that's good. You know what I mean? Like I always say, there are three great days in a coach's life. Wedding day, birth of kids, and road wins. And you get a road win like that, holy cow. So, no, I don't think there is, except now. Maybe early in the year, maybe non-conference, Chaminade beats Virginia, but you preface it with league play. So, not this year. Anybody beating anybody, and it's absolutely spectacular.
You know, and I think I'm not sure people understand, like, league play, the playing field's more level. Like, guys understand how to play against each other. If I play against you 3 years in a row, I kind of have an idea of what you're trying to get done. And I have an idea of what I'm going to give, what I'm going to take away. You know, I know what you're doing out of timeouts. I know when you're going to change defenses. I know, you know, what you're going to run most times for your go-to guy, because coaches are creatures of habit. They don't change a whole lot. I mean, it's not like a guy will just throw out his system and say, you know what, I'm going to start over. And I think what happens is it's like teams that play in the ACC, that people play against that Georgia Tech offense. What's that offense called? Come on, help me out here. You know the kind of you run
no
all
idea.
The time.
Yeah, the, you know what? My best friend offense.
Yeah, it's whatever that offense is. Well, you know, in league play. You play against it enough times, you figure out how you're going to guard it. You've seen it. Your guys understand it. In league play in basketball, it's the same thing. Now, it is harder to win on the road. And, you know, SMU to me yesterday, what they were able to do, I mean, 11 for 22 from the three-point line, 30 for 47. I mean, Tim Jankovic, he's a really good coach. I mean, and they play with ridiculous spacing. They shoot a ton of threes. They've got skilled players. And, oh, by the way, they got a bunch of those fifth-year guys because they got a bunch of transfers. So, like, they have, like, grown men. And the one thing in that game that was interesting, and we talk about Landry Shamet all the time, and he's really good. Shake Milton goes for 33. So, like, if you're going to pull an upset, you need some guy to step up and, you know, just have one of those games. And, like, Milton, he's an NBA player. So, I mean, like, that's not an upset. When you have like-type teams, you know, to me, I don't know if we should just stop losing our minds and say, well, an unranked team beat a ranked team. Well, an unranked team that beat a ranked team in a league play, maybe at home, that stuff just happens, don't you think?
You know this as a coach. Sometimes you're sitting at a game and you're on the road and you're like, man, there's a reason. We got to win this one because this guy's going. Shake Milton, you mentioned him. Well, he's going. So we got to get this, and each game is organic. Bill Belichick, I go back to having a conversation with him when he was an assistant with the Giants, and we're sitting in, you know, the Indiana coach's office, and we're talking about games, and we're talking about you know, coaches. And one of the things that myself I learned, and it makes total sense, is every game is organic. Every game grows into something, and you know, you get on the road, you get a guy that's hot. The three-point line, as you mentioned, they shot the heck out of it. And next thing you know, boom. Or the other way, you know, you know that, hey, man. Like last night, I was at the Northwestern Ohio State game. And Northwestern did a great job on Kade Bates-Diop. They just did in this zone. So, you know, you're sitting there with Northwestern saying, all right, well, you know, this is – if we're going to beat Ohio State, and as well as Ohio State's playing, this is the game to do it, even though it was kind of a home game. So, look, when we move a little bit farther – down. We're you know, halfway through conference, or almost halfway through conference. We move a little farther, and all of a sudden, you know, teams have gone away, and they got one win or two wins in the league, and if they jump up on the road and beat somebody, that might be an upset. But SMU beating Wichita State or Texas Tech losing, yeah, it surprises you, but it's nothing to lose your mind. I'll give you something else, Seth. I'm watching Purdue the other night doing the game, and Purdue, you mentioned offenses. I swear every team in the country runs the same offense. I swear to God they do. There's dribble handoffs, there's whatever. And Purdue's running this motion, and they're cutting, and they're moving. And it hit me like, well, of course teams can beat teams, because I know your offense for the most part, because we run the same thing you run, except for Purdue, who's running motion. It was a stark contrast to what I see all year. So, yeah, I mean, let's, you know, you got a pro, you go on the road, you got a chance. Pretty simple.
I'll tell you one thing. You got a lot of stuff done right there, because you got organic in, which is something that this show has never gotten in. You got your obligatory Ohio State comment in.
Yes.
Junior not happy with you right now. We haven't checked off that box. So, I mean, you know, we didn't get Junior in the show yet. We'll get him in later.
We should have, because Junior banged in two big threes yesterday, and I think he's now 11 for 17 on threes on the year. So there you go.
The most efficient player in college basketball. Is that correct?
That's what they say. I think it's the most efficient player in the Big Ten, but we'll take college basketball. Hell yeah, we'll take college basketball. We'll take whatever you want to give us. you want to give us for Andrew Dockage.
I mean, we got a lot of stuff done, and we got Kata Bates D up in there. So we literally, you know, everyone who's listening to the podcast is drinking right now. That's a pretty good thing. We knocked it all out in the beginning of the first segment, which is unbelievable. What do you think, though? Don't you think a lot of teams just have small margins of error? Like I look at Texas Tech. I love them. Yeah. I love how they play. I love the motion there. You know, how they compete. I love their depth. Mm-hmm. Small margin of error.
Didn't you see it a little bit with West Virginia against Kansas?
Yeah, small margin of error. I mean, West Virginia got stuck offensively in the second half. I mean, it just did. I mean, Kentucky against up 14 against, you know, South Carolina and absolutely get stuck. Stop competing. And I got a lot of grief for what I said yesterday, and I stand by it. I mean, I wasn't talking about Kentucky and just Kentucky. Just, I think that what happens is we get seduced by the talent of these young freshmen, and we forget about talking about, like you said, the Purdues, the Villanovas, the Virginias, you know, those people, those teams that have a substance, have an understanding, have a trust. And you look, they should have a trust. They've been together for 3 and 4 years. They've been through a lot. Maybe they learned to lose before they learned to win. They've won close games. They've lost close games. I mean, that's just the way it is. When you have a group of guys and you put them together for the first time, they don't have those shared experiences. So they don't have that anything to go back on and say, well, we've been in this situation before. We can reach back and find a way to solve this thing. And I think that's something that people don't understand.
I can give you something else. Like, Kentucky has been spoiled because the guys have been uber talented. You know, and a lot of times, you know, ridiculous talent can overcome the things that you're talking about to a certain degree. I mean, I don't know that Kentucky's uber talented. I look at Kentucky as more workout talented. Dang, did you see him dunk? Dang, he went to the combine and he did this. Okay, cool. Well, they're playing against guys that are really talented. They're playing against guys, as you said, that are grown-ass men, guys at South Carolina coming off a Final Four season that have been through things together with their coach. Their coach has been through things. So, again, you mentioned upset, Seth. Maybe a few years ago, John Wall and Boogie Cousins, maybe that's an upset. But that's not an upset when you look at what Kentucky really is playing with and where they're playing and how good they are. But uber talent can overcome, but good talent, real good talent, NBA talent, that isn't off the charts, particularly this year, Seth, when we've seen so many veteran teams or so many old teams play really, really well. So, no surprise, and you should stand by what you said about Kentucky. Look, the world of Kentucky is simply this. It's America's most insecure world. If you don't say that everything is the greatest in the history of the world of Kentucky, you're going to catch hell from Kentucky. And catching hell from Kentucky means you're doing something right.
Well, I don't know. Speaking of Kentucky, how about next year? Season's moved up a little bit, moved up a week. So the season starts with Champions Classic, Kentucky-Duke. Is that good for college basketball? I mean, like, you think about, like, the game most people want to see, like, I think they should play every year. I think if they're not playing in Champions, that should be a game that should be played every year just because, you know what, it's good for college basketball. And, you know, whether you know, people are going to take sides and, you know, obviously they think Coach K is, you know, whomever and Cal's the villain and, you know, whatever it is. Don't you think that's a game that should be played every year? And how about moving up the start of the college season so that is the opening game of the year next year? Pretty good, huh?
Yeah, really good. And Cal Perry has interesting thoughts on it, man. I love Coach Cal. He has thoughts on that college basketball should be played in August because it feels like, and I'm really feeling this, it feels like college basketball is being swallowed up by football. And anything you can do to bring interest to college basketball, like literally, Seth, you can sit down at night, every night, and find a great ending. Like, you may not want to sit through Wichita State, you know, and SMU, or the other night you had two Big Ten games come down to the end, Michigan gets a win at the end, and Nebraska. You may not know the team, so maybe you don't want to sit through the whole thing, but you can flip the channel on, you're going to see something great. I think starting the season a little bit earlier, I think starting with, you know, the champions that you're always at and you guys do an unbelievably great job with, and it sets the tone, it is a body shot. You know, it's not a knockout blow. It's not going to bring college basketball into, you know, the forefront that time of year and all that kind of stuff. But it's a body shot. It's a nice little something to the ribs to get people aware of college basketball. And so Cal Perry's interesting with it, though. He says August. Play it in August. Let's go. Let's get the sport on people's minds. Let's get the sport in the consciousness in August. It's kind of interesting when you hear him talk about it.
If you play in August, then you take a little break in September and October and then reboot in November?
Something like that, yeah.
I'll tell you what would be a good idea. Why don't you play those exhibition games to raise money for, you know, different causes in August? What we learned last year with the NCAA loosening up and allowing schools to play exhibition games against other Division I schools to raise money for hurricane relief is that why wouldn't you do that? Why wouldn't you have exhibition games? Why wouldn't you say, you know what, all the charities need to be certified through the NCAA so that we don't have people playing for charities that end up in the hands of prospects or used for unsavory, in an unsavory way, and say, you know what? Everyone's got one or two. Maybe it's two, and one's got to be a Division II team, and one's got to be, you know, can be a Division I team where, you know, at least then, you know, you're helping lower-level programs and fundraising. Not that you really need to do that, but I think that'd be a great idea. I'm doing it in August, and, you know, you take a break, you kind of get a feel for your team, and then you reboot. Maybe, you know, in the middle of October to get ready for November. It's just an idea. I mean, one thing about Cal, he likes summer hoops because he thinks that's a time. And we learned this year from the NBA Summer League. Think about the popularity of the NBA Summer League this year. It was insane. It's absolutely insane. I mean, Thomas and Mack sold out every single night.
Seth, think about the difference. The difference between Summer League teams and Duke, all right? Probably two guys on a summer league team that's going to make the team, right? I mean, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Maybe two guys. Yeah. Well, Duke's got maybe two guys, three guys going to make the league, and they're organized, and they have a following based on history. So you come at the summer basketball from an inherent advantage over the summer league. You know, summer league got popular. Lonzo Ball became a big thing, all that stuff. And that's great. Hey, that's awesome. But you put Duke against, I don't know, who pick a team, Kentucky, in the summer playing basketball? I think you'll see the same thing. Are you put a, what would be wrong? Let me ask you this. What would be wrong within the summer, because you can already work with kids, what would be wrong with saying, all right, we're going to put a league together in L.A. or in wherever that's going to consist of Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, pick Michigan State, Indiana, Purdue, whatever. And we're gonna play a summer tournament. Let Nike schools play one. Fine, do it like high school. Nike schools play a tournament. Adidas schools play a tournament. Under Armour schools play a tournament. And people say, well, academically. Oh, don't give me that. You can set up academics in the summer so that you do everything online. The world has changed, and you can give them all June off. You know, schools in the Big Ten end in May. You can give them a ton of time off, but kids would love it, number one. They would love – are you kidding me? You think that in the summer, college basketball players wouldn't love – to go play in Thomas and Mack against, you know, other really good teams on TV? Please, they would love that. So many times we get involved in all the minutiae, well, the academics or the travel, blah, 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 blah. Bottom line is kids would love it. They could do their summer academics and it'd be great. Awesome.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, speaking of, like, and again, maybe not even just for Blue Bloods. You could have it at every level, but speaking of Blue Bloods, all right, Duke survived Miami, no doubt about it. Their run at the end was unbelievable. They went zone, which got them out some deflections. They got out in transition, and, you know, Gary Trent Jr. made a bunch of shots, and Marvin Bagley had some rebounds and some plays, and I think Wendell Carter's the most underappreciated guy in their team, without a doubt. I mean, like, they dropped 90 just by when the ball goes up in the air. They're going to get 90. I mean, that's just the way it is. Now, I mean, they have flaws defensively, and, you know, defensive transition, they weren't very good, and they gave up some second shots, and the zone seemed to help them some. The one guy to me, he's not getting big numbers, but I think he's playing really well. He's not shooting the ball well, but I think he's making winning plays. Like, I know there's a lot of talk about, well, you know, Grayson Allen, this, Grayson. Like, to me, he makes two ridiculous hustle plays in the game against Miami. Ridiculous. The one at the end of the first half, diving for the loose ball. Mm-hmm. Kicking it back, they bank into three. The steal, who might have been a foul, but it wasn't a foul because it wasn't called. And they get out and train. He goes out and lays it into the other end. Game before, he has 12 rebounds, 8 assists. So, like, you know, everyone's getting so caught up in, you know, what's wrong with Grayson Allen. And this goes back to my thing. Yeah, he's not shooting the ball well. But he's doing other things to help his team win. And kind of, isn't that what you expect a senior to do? So you're not making shots, and I think part of the reason he's not making shots is because he doesn't get the ball on time on target, because I don't think Duval, even though his stats are great and he can get to the rim, I'm not sure he's a guy that sees plays early. So therefore, you know, you're guarding Grayson Allen. He's only open for a short period of time. Advanced passing ball, he'll knock down jumpers. But when you get into half court, he's not going to be left free all that much. But I think it's a great example of a senior who's making plays and helping his team win by doing all the little things. What do you think?
I think that, and I think Duke played kind of like Duke. Like, there are certain games. Like, I'm watching that game, and Miami's playing well, and I'm like, man, when's Duke going to become Duke in this game? You know what I mean? Maybe sometimes they're not, but they were then. I'm with you on Grayson. Like, what do people expect Grayson Allen? Is he supposed to average 40? You know, is he supposed to, you know, shoot 11 of 12? Is he supposed to... I don't know. I think Grayson Allen is a really, really, really good basketball player that is going to go down because he got to play 4 years as an all-time great at Duke, won national championship, all that. But I don't know what people expect. And here's the other thing, Seth. There are certain years where you're uncomfortable with your teammates because it's just a different dynamic. This year's different than last and all that kind of stuff. So, all right. Grayson Allen is in a new role with new guys, and people discount that really quickly with him. They just do. Like, I think everybody's played on a team where, man, this thing got rolling, and then you come back the next year and it's not quite the same. It's got developed. So I think that when we talk about teams like Kentucky or whoever that have one and dones, and we talk about the coach and the team in general, I think with Grayson Allen, you talk about the individual. He's in the middle of new guys. He all of a sudden, here's Bagley showing up, right? He didn't know Marvin Bagley from Marvin Gaye. But all of a sudden, this dude, all right, he's on campus. Now he's on our team. Okay. You know, so it is sometimes overlooked how – and he, you know, Darius Miller did that, remember, for Kentucky, but he was a role player. Right. Grayson Allen's like the face. And so I think he's doing a great job. I I don't know why, and I'm glad that people have quieted down on Grayson Allen, and I'm glad that Grayson Allen has allowed them to quiet down on him, you know, by no hijinks.
Sure.
But I have no problem. I think Grayson Allen's been really good. I don't know, Seth, you know, you walk in a locker room as a coach, and sometimes even as a coach you feel different in the locker room because one guy, you know, I call him the Seinfeld guy. You know, Jerry Seinfeld bonded George and Elaine and everybody. And when that guy's not in a locker room, it's like, whoa, wait a second, this is different. So,
well, here's the thing. Don't you think, like, here you got these four freshmen. They have a lot in common. I mean, yeah. and the reality is those guys have probably more in common than they with each other than they have with Grayson Allen because they're coming in new. Grayson Allen's been there 4 years. It's, you know, it's just a different dynamic. But I think the guy's doing a lot of helping his team win, which is most important. Now, like I call these are not under-radar teams because they're top five teams in the country or so. But, like, to me, Virginia, no London Parentis, no Malcolm Brogdon. No problem. I mean, like, what they're doing defensively is incredible. And it just shows you culture, system, buy-in. Like, having Devin Hall and Isaiah Wilkins, just two tough dudes that totally buy into what you're doing. Red shirting a guy like DeAndre Hunter, who, you know, can come off the bench and, you know, play multiple positions. The development of Ty Jerome, Kyle Guy buying in. Jack Salt, you know, just like throwing salted wounds around a basket, rising people with screens. I mean, like we, even though they're like two or three or whatever they're in the top 25, people still don't talk about them. Like, it's crazy how they can be like the second or third best team in the country and they're under the radar. It's insane, isn't it?
I think it's almost typical. Like, Ty Jerome is a good player, man. Kyle Guy's a good player. And, you know, immediately all people say is, I don't like their style. Well, if you watch their style, you know, what's wrong with their style? They play the hell out of the defensive end with not only great discipline and great structure, but they do it with individual talent, too. They guard their own really well. All right, offensively, they share the ball and screen. Oh, man, a terrible style, really? Okay. Everybody in America would like to, well, not everybody, but most guys, 99% of the guys in America would like to have the winning percentage that style plays. So, you know, look, when you can just keep winning and you're smart enough and Tony Bennett is so smart that you just recruit the right guys for you, good for him. And look, they are not, you know what's interesting about them, Seth? You beat Duke or North Carolina and you rush the court. You beat Virginia, even though they're ranked like fifth, third, seventh, second, whatever, you don't rush the court. And I don't know why that is. Why is that? You're the dean of all things rushing the court. It's like
we I am the commissioner.
Them. Yes. And it's like we beat them, and they're just not as glamorous to beat. You know, and I know it's because of national championships and all that, but if you go year to year, they're a rush the court program. Why does nobody rush the court against Virginia?
Because they're not sexy. It comes down to that. I mean, certain players right. in Purdue, not sexy. Virginia, not sexy. You know, here's my one thing about just Virginia in general. Like, I love people say, well, I don't like the way they play. Tough luck. You know what? You're not coaching them. Like, what wouldn't you
right.
like? I mean, it's not your – it's not – look, everyone doesn't have to play the same way. I don't care if you don't like the way they play. Oh, they play too slow. It's boring. Winning is not boring. I mean, like, you know, they're hard to score against. It's not interesting. You know what? Winning is interesting. Like, not everyone has to play the same way. And that, like when people say, look, you have a right. I respect other people. You might not like their system. You might rather watch guys run up and down and dunk and do all that other stuff. That's great. But don't condemn someone else's style of play because what their style is, it fits their university. It fits the guys that they want to recruit. It fits, you know, you coach what you're comfortable coaching. Know what you teach and teach what you know. And you know what? That is a winning system. So, like, it's great. Some people might not like it. But, like, condemning Virginia. Virginia's ruining basketball because the way they play. No, they're not. They're showing there's more than one way to play. That, you know, so be it. There's more than one way to play football. You know, some people run it. Some people run the West Coast offense. Some people, you know, throw it deep. I don't, you know, every sport, there's more than one way to play. And, you know, the most important thing is you've got to be committed to playing. Your system needs to fit your personality. It needs to fit the place you're working at so that you can attract those type of kids. And it's got to be give you a chance to win. And you know what? What Virginia's doing and how they're playing gives them a chance to win every single night. Like people say, well, you know, North Carolina, what's wrong with North Carolina? They can't beat Virginia. You know why? What does North Carolina do well? They run, they score in the paint, and they rebound. What does Virginia do well? They don't turn it over, so they keep you out of transition. They double the post, so they take away your post-up game. And because of the pack line, they pretty much stay between you and the basket, so they're positioned to rebound the basketball and keep you off the glass. What's wrong with that? It drives me crazy. I mean, it's insane. Why are people complaining about that?
And I don't know. Because I blame us. You know, doesn't everybody blame ESPN? So, hell, I blame ESPN. We show too many dunks. How about that? That's the reason. It's like, come on, man. I mean, they win the game and they go. He has made, let's put it this way. Tony Bennett, and this goes back when you were at Virginia. I mean, Virginia's always been good, but Tony Bennett has made Virginia into a national player, period. That's exactly what he's done. They're a national player at Virginia. And let me ask you this. I mean, who doesn't want to be a national player? Like, I'm looking at Northwestern, all right? Northwestern has one good year, all right? What's the difference in schools, Northwestern, admittance, all that kind of stuff, Northwestern and Virginia? I don't know the answer to that. You know, all I know is Virginia's academics are high-end. Northwestern's academics are high-end. They're both prestigious universities. But Tony Bennett has Virginia in a really tough league as a national player. There's nothing wrong with that. That is what every program aspires to be. Cal is the same kind of university. Cal can't win if they played against each other. But here you go. Tony Bennett has done that. What's wrong with that? Stanford, same thing. He's made this into a national power. Truthfully, when I hear people say, well, it's boring, but I just turn the channel. Because that's, you know, that's the great thing about a remote. Like, I was the remote when I was a kid. I had to get up and turn the channel. You know what I mean? And now I can just sit on my big, fat dupayash and change the channel. So
you can even just say, name the channel. You can talk into your remote, which is even a great thing. It's the most amazing thing in the world. I mean, I can talk to my remote, and my remote just does it for me.
Right.
They are, you know, I wouldn't say they're overachieving. I would just say they're really good. I'll tell you another team that is really good. And we are going to be fortunate to have the head coach of the Clemson Tigers with us. And that's Clemson. Clemson is a really good basketball team. I don't care if they lost to North Carolina at North Carolina. You know what? A lot of people lost to North Carolina at North Carolina. They're North Carolina. They win a lot of games. They win most of their games at home. We make such a big deal of that. I don't care about it. Here's the deal. Clemson has upper-class guards. Clemson has experienced front-court guys. Clemson has a very, very good coach that has got his guys to buy into each other. And we're going to have Clemson head coach Brad Brunell join us. How about that?
I did Clemson, Ohio State, and I'm telling you, in transition, woo, is Clemson good. I mean, and it's early in the year, so both teams have gotten a lot better. But, my God, and you know how when you go to a game and you do the game on TV, and so you're sitting there courtside, and you can really see how fast and how they look. You know, like one of the things that I love about Clemson, loved it, didn't like it, loved it, was how they look for each other. Like, and this is, I think, become a good thing in college basketball. Like, I think kids look for each other. I don't think there's too many pigs in college basketball shooting the ball. I just don't. But, man, does Clemson get out in transition? They find each other. You mentioned it, the veteran guards. I am all in on Clemson hoops. I know, yeah, they lost to Carolina. Hey, man, If we're going to do voices, because you did a great voice in the last conversation, a great voice.
I'm not big on voices today. Big on voices.
I'll give you big stupid guy from where I'm Gary, Indiana. Hey, man, what the hell? Clemson can't play nobody. They can't beat Carolina. Shut up. Nobody beats Carolina in Carolina when Carolina doesn't feel like losing. So leave us alone. Clemson's damn good, and I'm happy for Brad Brunell. How about that?
And when we come back, we're going to be visiting with Clemson head coach Brad Brunell.
I love sports. I just wish they could be with me always. They say you don't choose the app. The app chooses you. It is everything I could ever want in a sports companion. It can stream the games and shows that I love, and it's there whenever I need it. I never thought I could find an app that loves sports as much as I do. Until now.
Download the ESPN app to stream ESPN Radio and all the ESPN networks now.
All right, we'd like to welcome in Clemson head coach Brad Brunell. We've just been talking so glowing about him. And you know what? He deserves to be talked about in glowing terms. Coach Brunell, thanks for joining the two fired coaches. We're going to talk a little ball. This is going to be the anti-interview that you've ever had, I'm sure. But,
you two guys, you guys really don't need guests. I don't know what you guys even have guests for. There's really no need for that. You two guys in there.
Yeah, like we open up the refrigerated door, the light goes on, and we start talking. We understand that. Hey, Brad, coming into the season, you knew you had upper-class guards and all that jazz, and you had those experienced front-court guys. What did you expect of your team?
You know, I thought we had a chance to be a good team. I really did, because we had experienced backcourt, and we had an older group of players. Our top six or seven guys are guys that have been college basketball, you know, 3 to 4 years. And so I thought we would surprise some people. I didn't know how well we would defend. That was always my question with our team, is would this team be willing to be coached enough on that end and pay enough attention to the details of defending to get big stops when you need them? And I think that's still going to be the question going forward, because we're not athletically like superior or anything like that to the people we play in our league. We really got to be in good position defensively, and we got to be doing the right things all together, working as one, or we're going to have some problems.
Yeah, but the way I look at your team, and maybe I'm wrong, and I understand the upper class stuff. And look, you know, we were all smarter when we had upperclassmen. There's no doubt about it. But like last year, you had some talented guys. But like to me, it looks like this team is a Brad Brunell team. Like that, like it looks like this team is just bought into each other and understanding to play to their strengths and are trying defensively and a little bit tougher. And did you think it was important for you to get back to just coaching the way you coach?
Yeah. It did, and I think, it's crazy. I even told this to our team early on in the year that I said, no disrespect to you guys and some of you new guys that have come to the program, but we might have been more talented in terms of, like, guys that can score last year. Obviously with Jerron, and we had a very good shooter in Avery Holmes, and so we had more scoring. We were bringing Marquise Reed, our leading scorer, off the bench. We had more scoring last year, but this year's team, our pieces fit together better. We don't have, everybody's not thinking about scoring every time. And I think that's really helpful. And I think sometimes when we bring guys like David Scar and Mark Donnell off the bench, our defense gets better because we're bringing in guys that aren't as worried about scoring the ball. They're just worried about doing their job. And, so I just think this is a team whose pieces fit together very well. And then because of the leadership of Dante Grantham, especially, I think that it's a group that has been coachable and really tried to improve and get better throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, hey, Brad, I had you guys at Ohio State. You got down, then you got in transition. Damn, it was good. I mean, it was good to watch. How has your team improved? That was back November, December. How has your team improved, and where does it need to go from here in terms of improvement?
Yeah, I think we've continued to get better in half-court offense. Our guys – they love that full court, because now I'm not coaching them too much. It's just getting space and play together and share the ball and make good reads. And I think our guys do that. And we certainly did that in that game at Ohio State where we had a nice win. But I think we've gotten a little bit better in our execution half court. I think that's been helpful. I do think our turnovers a little bit, because we do have a bunch of guys that can score every once in a while, because we do like to run like that. We can throw it away a little bit early, and so we got to make sure that our turnover numbers, that's the only thing last year's team has done better than this year's team. We've been, because we are aggressive, we turn it over some. We got to make sure that those numbers stay down. And then we just got to keep getting staying connected defensively. You know, I think we've, by and large, we've done a pretty good job of that, and finishing possessions with rebounds are the biggest keys for us.
I got to get the obligatory Michigan grad transfer, you know, guy in here, Mark Donnell, who is America's walking dead man. He, you said it before. He doesn't change. You know, I coached him for 4 years in AAU, and he has the same expression now. But you got a little help out of Mark. Mark, has he helped you a bit? Because teams that get Michigan transfers win games.
Yeah, he really has. Number one, he comes from a great culture. You know, he doesn't have to overcome his father like some guys that play for Ohio State. But he's been really good. And you know what? You do see it. And I joke. But those guys are used to winning. And they're very connected players. They're guys that are unselfish. And Mark, you know, does an unbelievable job for us that way. Coming in as a fifth-year guy and doing your job, like a lot of guys want more than that. But when you can count on a guy to come in and do his job, it really means a lot. We've got a very good starting center in Elijah Thomas, but he battles foul trouble certain games. And so Mark is one of those guys when we bring him in, we don't feel like there's any drop-off. We still got an older guy that's physical defensively, rebounds his position. And actually, he's different in that now. He's shooting in a couple threes every once in a while, and you got to adjust to that. So, you know, much like your son at Ohio State, he's doing a really good job of doing his job.
You know, it's amazing. You just enabled Dockage to get his obligatory Ohio State in there, his obligatory junior in there. I mean, you just checked off. People are drinking everywhere because you just checked off numerous boxes. Andrew Dockage got stroked, which is good because he's one of the most efficient player in the Big Ten.
Played pretty good last night.
Oh, he plays good every night. He plays good every night. It's unbelievable. I think, you know, people are going to talk about Andrew Dockage like they talked about Dean Smith and Jordan. I mean, I think Beilein just held the dude back. I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, just
keep talking. Just keep talking, fellas. I'll just sit here and listen. I got it on record.
This is unbelievable. I mean, this is good to get. Now, you know, speaking of putting your team together, though, I mean, like, you have pieced your team together. You've got some transfers. You've got some seniors. You got some, you know, some guys that, you know, you grew with. I mean, you know, I used to say you have to figure out how you can win at each place you're at. Yep. Obviously, we all want to recruit the best players, and you know, you can't mention names, but you're involved with a really good one right now. But when you look at Clemson, I mean, you know, I looked at Virginia Tech. I mean, is that kind of what you said? Well, how are we going to win here and win consistently here? Is that difficult
to figure that out? Yeah, it is. And you know what? It's gotten a little bit better since we've had an upgrade in facilities. You know, we got that done about a year ago, and so it's really helped us. We finally got on par with people in our league facility-wise, because that's really important when you bring kids on campus. We feel like we got a great university and really a neat environment, a great small college town that's a lot of fun to be around with a lot of, you know, school spirit. But when your facilities aren't as good, that's a problem. And so, you know, we started recruiting some kids, and we got involved with a couple transfers thinking that, you know what, we can find some guys here that want to play in the ACC. And so we were able to get some guys. Shelton Mitchell was a guy that we recruited out of high school and had a good chance to get. He ended up going to Vanderbilt after a coaching change, signing with Wake, and wanted to come back to the ACC. And Marquise Reed is a guy we actually played against when he was at Robert Morris for a year and was just a really good scorer, a guy we thought could play at this level. And so he was a transfer we took. And then Elijah Thomas is another one. And, you know, those three guys are all in our starting lineup. And so we've kind of mixed it in. We've gotten some really good high school recruits to go with them. We got two seniors that are high school guys in Dante Grantham and Gabe DeVoe that have been through the rigors of our program, understand how we do things and understand the league. And so it's just kind of a nice blend. And I think we're doing a good job of kind of continuing that kind of blend as we go forward here at Clemson.
I think I talked to you one time, and maybe I talked to the Donnells, and they were like, man, Dabo Sweeney's just really helpful here.
He's terrific. He and I have been friends. There's only one year age difference between us. So, you know, right when I got here, he kind of got connected with me and my wife, Paula, he and Kathleen, and they really made us feel welcome, to be honest with you. And then, you know, early on, before Dabo was Dabo, the first two or three years, and you know, we were both trying to figure it out, you know, a little bit, and spend a lot of time together and vacation together. And since that time, he's become famous. He doesn't take me on family vacations anymore. But he is a huge hoops guy. And, I mean, he'll play noontime ball. He doesn't pass, but he loves to play noontime ball. He was a good high school player, scored a bunch of points, loves basketball. We certainly have him meet with occasional recruit. And he comes to a lot of games. I mean, he just he understands it. He brings a lot of football recruits to basketball games. And, you know, we go over there and see those guys all the time, still play golf a bunch in the off season. And he's just a terrific guy. What you see is what you get. And obviously he's built an incredible program. So it's been really helpful for all of us over here at Clemson.
I guess the two Dabo questions, number one, I mean, like, do you play noontime ball? You don't play noontime ball, do you?
I play occasional noontime ball, and mostly it's to make sure that when Dabo plays that he doesn't control the court. I'm the only guy at the school that will stand up to him right now. You know what I mean? He calls fouls on everything. He calls every out of bounds is his team's ball. So, like, I go down there every once in a while just to make sure that he understands he's on the basketball court right now and that he's not getting all the calls.
So he's like the LeBron. He's like the LeBron of yes. Noontime ball at Clemson, basically. So here's the other question:
Absolutely.
Have you ever been down the famous slide in their practice facility, in their locker room, or whatever
I've
that
been
thing
down,
is?
I have
that,
been down the slide. I've been down the slide a couple times. Absolutely, it's a good time had by all. We got a lot of things. They got a lot of things over there. I haven't been in the nap room yet. I haven't been able to take a nap over there. But the golf simulator, the bowling alley, putt-putt golf course. They actually got full court hoops on the outside with a top over, you know, car garage, carport type deal there. For I'm thinking about having practice over there when the weather clears a little bit. We might have practice outside over there one day that for a little bit of fun. But actually, those football guys love to play hoops, man. Those guys, Christian Wilkins was a big-time hoops guy. So was Dexter Lawrence. They're two big linemen, were big hoops guys in high school, played high school basketball. So they come to all the games, and those guys are out there balling a lot.
They have a golf simulator.
They're
telling me a bowling alley and a slide and a place. I got to have a barbershop, right?
Barbershop,
I'm sure. I got it. You know, one thing about practice facilities, you got to have a barbershop. I mean, it's one of those things. I don't have to worry about that. Dockage has to worry about a barbershop because he's got to make sure every one of those survivors is exactly in the right place. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But hey, Brad, we appreciate you hanging out with us. And you know, we, wishing you nothing but the best. I know you got another one this weekend, and just keep it going. You got two big fans here, no doubt about it.
Well, I appreciate you, fellas. Appreciate you guys a lot, and love listening to you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
So, D Squared, where are we at this weekend?
I am the official TV voice of the Purdue Boilermakers. This will be my third or fourth in a row. I can't remember. I will be in Iowa City on Saturday taking in Purdue at Iowa, and then I get to go back to Iowa on Tuesday for Wisconsin at Iowa. There you go, buddy. Where are you?
We are in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky, where they're not very happy with me, but I really don't care, with College Game Day. Florida and Kentucky. And Florida's playing better now. I mean, that guard play is really good. Keevon Allen had a huge game yesterday, and it'll be interesting to see if Kentucky can play harder longer, which is obviously the challenge for all young teams. And you know, if you are listening to us, you can find us on the Listen tab on the ESPN app or wherever you find your podcasts. D Squared, we'll talk to you guys next week. What do you think? Have a great weekend.
Can't wait. Should be a great weekend of hoops.
Thank you for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. You can listen and subscribe to all ESPN podcasts in the Listen tab of the ESPN app, including the latest from the NBA and the Hoop Collective podcast, available in the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.